one thing that's a little unique about us is because we're really mission driven. So we are really, we really want more women to be managing more money, to be making more money, to be using that money to employ other women, all of those things, to use that money to support their chosen political candidate, right? Money is very powerful.
Sapphics and allies, you're listening to Queer Women Rising. That's women with an X because we are inclusive here. When we hear the stories of queer women who have gone before us, we see evidence that there's nothing we can't do. And yes, we can too. It's time for you to level up in life, in love, and step into your most authentic, abundant reality. You won't be the same after this episode. It's your turn to let go of good for greatness.
Your best life is now loading.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise. Welcome back to Queer Women Rising. I'm your host, Sophia Spolino. And if you are a woman, a queer woman wanting more, wanting to make as much or scratch that more than a man, you're going to love this episode because you're not here to play average, to play small. You're creating a reality in your life, in your love life, in your professional life, and you're building your bank account. My guest today, Jessie Gabriel, began her journey as an attorney working at one of the country's most prestigious firms, like Baker Hostetler Letter, where she was the youngest female to launch an investment funds practice. The youngest female. This is huge. In 2020, Jessie left her career in big law to launch All Places, a law firm for women and by women. All Places is the culmination of her expertise and ethos, a space for women to formulate businesses of all kinds, receive trusted legal and strategic guidance, and ultimately cultivate long-term financial success. I am so excited to have her on today. This is going to be so, so good. And if you are here live with us, feel free to ask questions. By podcast, then know that you can come in Instagram Live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time for Queer Women Rising, and I can't wait to see you live. Oh my gosh. Hi, Jessie. How are you?
Hi, Sophia. I'm good.
I'm so glad to have you. I'm so excited to always bring women on who have done great things, and so we can look at them and say, oh, wait, she can do that. It's possible for me, or oh, how she helps people is possible for me. So I can't wait to hear your story.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So
I love talking about this stuff. And I'm so excited to talk to you. I've been following you since hearing about the podcast. And so I'm just, you know, excited. Instagram Live is definitely not my space. So I'm a little nervous.
Oh my gosh. Don't be nervous.
But also happy to be here.
Well, first of all, you're quite lovely, and the lesbians are going to be so happy to see your face. so know that.
Way to make me feel comfortable. Thank you.
Yes. And then secondly, I always ask my guests before we start, are you queer? What does that look like for you? Are you an ally?
I am not queer. I am an ally.
Amazing. Well, I'm so glad to have you here. And
thank you for having me on a show focused on queer women and bringing allies on, and just great. Thank you for the inclusivity. I think it's always so important on both sides.
Yes, it really is. It really is. And I'm so excited to see when we do have people in powerful places who have accomplished great things, and they say, like, I want to be out and proud as an ally, because we know that sometimes in the world, people don't like that, and that can affect you. Mm-hmm. So you standing up for us means the world. So thank you for your inclusivity as well. And I'm curious, like, you started in such a male-dominated industry. What was that like day to day?
I mean, you can probably guess, right? And this is such an interesting It's such an interesting question that evolves over time, right? When I started as a lawyer, I was a baby, right? I was 27. And the concept of, gender discrimination or being treated differently or any limitation on my possibility on my expansion didn't even occur to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up thinking I could do anything. I was raised by a single mother, and she always, I don't know, I just learned from her that I could do anything. And so I didn't think about the dynamic that much until I got more senior in my career. And then you start looking around and you're like, oh, there aren't that many women making decisions at this place. And then you become a senior person and felt like I still wasn't, didn't really have the power to make decisions, even though I was a partner. And yeah, I mean, there were some things that some of my best mentors were men. So some parts of it were great, but a lot of parts were, you know, were really challenging. And I think it definitely falls in that bucket of industries where there's so much room to make it better and more inclusive. And when you make it more inclusive, it's better because you have top talent who want to stay and do the work with you.
Yeah. I have dated people in like the legal industry, and obviously they're queer, and they say like in those male dominated fields, they have to actually have moments where no matter how out and proud they are, they pretended to be straight. And like, that's like, whoa. But it, I guess it's just part of the reality that you guys face in those industries.
I think that's, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that at all. I mean, it's, I think whatever qualities you have that deviate from the majority of people who are in the industry, you feel some need or not need. Some people work against it more than others, but for me, I felt a need just to downplay my femininity. Because I didn't want people like looking at my tits, right? I didn't want people, which was definitely a thing that would happen.
I absolutely get that. Like, you want to be respected for your brain and what you bring to the table. Well, you took the leap of faith from that stable career, even though it wasn't always great. It was extremely stable. And starting a venture capital fund seems like a huge leap. In fact, like, can you just define what that is for our audience? Because maybe they don't know. What is a venture capital fund?
Yeah. And I will define that, and I'll clarify that I am still a lawyer. I run a law firm, and we work with venture capital funds, and we work with venture-backed startups.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry I mixed that up.
No, not at all. I can answer all your venture capital questions.
Okay.
So,
So you're helping you're helping people raise money, though, or you're helping venture capitalists?
So, I am, if you are a woman, we work with some men too, and you want to start a venture fund, what you would do is you would come to us and we work with you on setting up the structure.
Okay.
And then we do all the legal support around you start making investments, right? You're doing deals, you're on corporate boards. And so we provide all your typical legal guidance. But I think, you know, one thing that's a little unique about us is because we're really mission driven. So we are really, we really want more women to be managing more money, to be making more money, to be using that money to employ other women, all of those things, to use that money to support their chosen political candidates, right? Money is very powerful.
It is.
So we are really invested in the success of our clients. But I'm happy.
Amazing.
You want me to do like a basics, kind of venture basics?
Yes, because for me, when I'm looking at what you did, I was like blending it all together.
Completely.
So I can't be the only one. Yes. Give us the outline, like how this works, because even this morning I have someone in my inbox being like, hey, can you connect me with someone who wants to invest in my queer company? Mm-hmm. Right. And so these are the things that come across. And so how does that play into what you're doing? And yeah, give us the play by play.
Okay. So we'll talk about two pieces. We'll talk about venture capital funds, and then we'll talk about companies where venture capital gets invested, right? These companies that are raising money. So venture capital funds are, it's really not that complicated. It's, I'm a venture capitalist, and what I decide is I'm going to raise a bunch of money, and I basically put it in this big pot. So I come like raise. Say I raise $100 million. It's in this pot, and now I get to make decisions about how that money gets invested. And the way I'm going to invest it is in these early, you know, you hear about these exciting startups and tech companies. Venture capital funds generally invest in relatively early stage companies. So they're these young, new, high growth potential companies. And that's it.
Okay.
I know, I think finance and law, medicine, there are other areas too, where it's so easy to make it sound scary, but it's, right? It's relatively simple. Bring the money in, here's the pool, and then I get to make the decisions about it.
So.
And then,
you're
so
firm.
On the other side of that transaction, right? I decide I'm going to invest in this early stage company. Here it is, the early stage company. And we say write a check, but wire funds to them under certain terms, right? We think your company is valued at X, we're going to invest Y. And these are like some additional bells and whistles that we want as part of that investment.
Okay. And so your company, where does it oversee this process?
So we generally get started on the fund side at the very beginning. Like I said, a woman will come to us. She wants to start a fund or she's starting her second fund. And we get started right then. Okay, what do you want this fund to look like? What's important to you? Here are some of the key terms. Let's walk through them together. Because even though you're starting a venture, like anyone who's dealt with lawyers knows, you're an expert in your area. That doesn't mean that you understand the legal documents that are being handed to you.
No.
To execute, right? Even if you read them, you might not understand them. And so what you need, I think, you need lawyers who are going to walk you through them.
Yeah,
so you know what you're signing, right?
I have three female lawyers in my life that look at everything. And it's, I don't even know what I would do as a business owner without that. So.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of, to be, you know, we all know too, because we started, I've been doing this for 4 years. When did you start your company?
I started back in 2022, technically, like with an LLC. Yeah.
So when,
but I've been doing this for 10 years, yeah. Like social media strategy.
So I think for all of us, when we first start our companies too, you know, sometimes you don't have the budget for lawyers, right? And then what do? You just do your best.
Yeah.
So this is like no judgment. I mean, starting a company, running a company is hard.
Yeah. I got very scrappy. I had lawyer friends. I put things together and I was like, could you like look at this? And I just pay you for the time it takes to like tweak things in the document that I already did, which probably wasn't like good ideas.
But you do the best you can. Being an entrepreneur every day is just doing the best you can.
Really is. Okay, so I love what you're doing. So essentially, let's get this right. Women come to you when they're saying, I want to start gathering a pool of money for things that I believe in and women I want to invest in.
Yes, that is one part. And then the other side are the women who are, you know, you have a company, you've probably been running this company for a couple years, maybe you raised a angel round or friends and family round. We can talk about what those terms mean too, because they're like, right? Elusive. And then you've gotten to a point where you maybe have a little bit of money to pay for lawyers and you want a little bit like you're looking for a different relationship going into usually your next fundraising round. So we don't raise the money, but we're there with you the whole time saying, okay, these terms are being offered. Let's talk about what those terms mean for you. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what they mean now. Let's talk about what they mean in 5 years. Let's make sure you're not one of these horror stories of a woman who sells her company and at that point owns 3% of it, right? It's just, and it's so easy for that to happen, not because women are stupid, as we know, women are brilliant, but because you don't know, like you don't know what you don't know, right? And if somebody's telling you, oh, this is fine, this is normal, you should do this. And you're like, oh, okay, you must be right.
There's a lot of jargon, a lot of numbers, and yeah, I'm currently going into a licensing agreement right now. We're going back and forth. It's so fun. So fun.
Yeah, but you want to, as you go through that, right? And that is an agreement that might last a long time. Right?
I'm hoping forever. I'm hoping this is the deal of my
life. Okay, forever. Agreement that might last forever. So you want to, it matters, right? Those terms now matter, and it matters to how, it sounds like you have these great legal partners who will say, Sophia, look, this is this one term. It means this right now. 5 years from now, it might mean this. So let's just make sure you're comfortable with it. You're happy with the money you're getting. You're protected, you know, all those things.
Yeah. I love it. So what happens, like you just mentioned friends and family round, angel investors. For people who don't know what that is, can you give us those definitions and how that works?
Yeah. So why don't we, can I just talk a little bit about financing generally?
Yeah, let's do it.
And when I say financing, I mean any money that's coming into your company, other than like your clients and the product you're selling, right? Any money that's coming into your company. So a lot of us bootstrap our companies, right? We don't take any money from the outside. We figure out a way.
Yeah, I did it.
You figure out a way to like do your best. Maybe if you're really risk averse like me, you try to save ahead of time. You know, I was very lucky, right? Because I was had this great corporate job. So I could like ferret away some money. And if I didn't do that for me, I wouldn't have been able to start my own firm. I just would have been too afraid.
Yeah, same.
I would have been too afraid. So you can bootstrap your company. So that's one option. Another option is you talk about people who get loans, right? Small business loans. So people, that's debt. So it's where you borrow money and you have to give it back. But they don't get to own any part of your company, right?
Right.
Some, which can be great, right? To not give up ownership, give up control. I'm kind of a control freak. So for me, it would be very hard for me to give up some kind of ownership in my company. Okay, so that's debt. And then the sexy part that we like to talk about, right, getting venture funding or angel funding, that is equity. So that is somebody giving you money in exchange for a piece of your company. Okay.
Which I am not doing ever, at least right now. I mean, I don't know. Some might come to me with like millions, but.
I feel that way too. I think so many reasons are, one is like, this is my baby. I love this business. Like, I love this business. Like the idea of somebody else getting to make decisions about this business just feels so wrong to me. But also there's something really appealing about, you know, an exit scenario, which is like, do you want to be in the service business your whole life?
Yeah. Which is why. I've created a new product that doesn't rely on my face, right?
Ooh, like what is that product?
I have a new dating platform, the Queer Country Club. Mm. Yeah. So it doesn't rely on my face at all. And it's amazing. But my personal brand has been what's allowed me to bootstrap it, where everyone's like, how much did you pay to develop this? And I'm like, just me and my team. And they're like, what?
Amazing. And is it subscription based?
It is subscription based, but there is an initiation fee. So we make it to where it makes sense. If you come in and you meet your future wife in 1 week, we still got something for helping connect you. Mm-hmm. So there is an initiation fee and then a subscription. But I get that. Like it's your baby. It's your baby. So I can see it in your eyes. You're an entrepreneur like me. Like you have this fire.
I do. Well, I mean, it's not totally healthy, right? Because you're like, I'm obsessive about this business. Like, I love this business. Anyway, so, but for those people who are bringing on, right, some companies you need outside capital. Like, you just, like, sometimes it takes a lot of money to build your product, to build your business up, depending on the type of company it is. So for those people, you can go out and we can talk about this kind of levels when we talk about rounds or series of financing, right? So the lowest level is usually what people call the angel round or friends and family round. So friends and family is a loose term because most of us do not have friends and family who can write us checks for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000.
Right? I just wouldn't feel comfortable.
Some people do have those friends and family, right? Good for them. I definitely have some jealousy for that. But most people do not. So it's really about going out to your community, one or two steps removed from your community, people who are interested in what you're building.
Yeah.
And asking them, hey, I'm raising $1 million. If you want to invest in my company, how much could you invest? Could you invest 10,000? Could you invest 50,000? Could you invest more than that? And that's generally what the angel round, friends and family round, is pretty much the same thing. It's like your earliest round of asking people to put money into your business.
Okay.
And that can range anywhere from, say, $100,000 up to $1 million, depending on the business. And then you have what we call a seed round. Series A, Series B, Series C, Series D. These terms are pretty loose, but hopefully that Does that kind of like a basic?
Yeah.
Of the staff.
And so your company helps with those contracts, like to make sure that everyone's getting paid and getting their pieces of the pie as this company grows?
Yeah. So let's say for your dating platform, let's say you decided you wanted to bring in outside capital to like accelerate the growth of it. And we were working with you. What we would do is we would say, okay, how much do you want to raise? Okay, good. We would talk to you about valuation. So the reason valuation matters is because you're selling a piece of your company at a certain price.
Yeah.
Right? And that price depends on what people see as the value now and in the future of your company.
Yeah.
Right? And you can, a good way to think about this is, you know, we're all familiar with Apple, right? Apple is a publicly traded company. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange, or maybe it's traded on NASDAQ, but it's publicly traded. Anyone can buy shares of Apple, right, if you have the money. But the price of those shares fluctuates based on what people perceive to be the value of the company.
I love it. You're breaking this down so good for us. Thank you so much. And like, this is what I tell, because beyond having a dating platform, I teach women how to show up online and make money. And it's how you perceive yourself and how you valuable you show up is how other people are going to perceive you.
I was going to say, give me all your secrets.
I love it. The secret is truly showing up consistently and with a real strategy, something that does work, because the truth is there's a million strategies out there. But if you don't believe in the thing you're doing, you will not be consistent to follow through with what you're doing to ever see a result. So it's so important that you can go, oh, okay, if I do A, I'll get to B. If I do B and follow through, I'll get to C. And if you can be consistent and take those small steps, then you will win. But, and as you know, it's whoever doesn't quit, right? Who doesn't take no for an answer.
That is so it. That is so it. Like, not just Mark, right? Any entrepreneurial journey. When, you know, whenever I talk to someone who's been doing this for a longer period of time, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, I'm always, give me all your wisdom, give me all your guidance, like tell me what you wish you would have known now. And most people say the same thing, which is you just have to keep going. You just have to keep going.
And I'm a woo-woo girl, and I like believe in God, and I will literally be like, give me the solution. I want an easy solution right in front of me. And I just ask for, I'm looking for it. Because I believe what we look for, we're going to find. We're aware of it. And so I'll just be like, where is it? And even yesterday, we were having something that we were trying to solve, like with some AI. And I'm like, oh, but it might not be that complex. And we just took a deep breath, me and my team. And we like looked at it again. And we read through some stuff. And we're like, oh, it's actually this easy. The solution's right here. So
I do that too. I'm a spiritual person, but not a religious person.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh my God, it totally makes sense. I call myself inner spiritual. Okay. So yeah.
But I definitely believe in, I'm woo woo in a different way. I mean, I've like seen shamans, and I've seen a breathwork person and different types of healers. And I am not just because I live in LA. This was like when I was living in New York. But I definitely have learned that there's a lot more wisdom that we're not accessing. And for me, the way it comes most easily, because it's different for everyone, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is writing. So if there's a question I have, you know, you get in that like buzzy headspace where like everything's spinning around, like nothing feels like it's falling into place. And for me, when I do that, if I'm like being my best self, I will just stop and I'll just start free writing. What am I doing right now? What am I thinking about right now? I don't know. What is my priority now? What should it be right now? And usually for me, the answer comes pretty quickly. Not always, but yeah, those little things matter. Otherwise, just sitting there being like, I'm going to think real, real hard on this.
Yeah.
See if it comes. I don't know. It has not been that effective for me.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And I just believe the answers usually are within. And if they're not, then I always ask like God, universe, source, like put whoever, it's not always what you need to see. It's who needs to help you next. Like maybe someone's listening to this podcast episode on Apple Podcasts in 2 months from now.
Oh my gosh, like, can I interrupt really quickly?
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking at the comments, but one popped out. Rima Roy, who is on the, who's following your live right now. She actually worked at one of our very first clients.
Really?
So one of our clients that came with us when I launched All Places, Rima worked there. So it's like, it's just so amazing to see her name pop up. Hi, Rima.
I love it. I love it.
Sorry,
the power of social media. No, it's totally fine. I love it. No, when I see my clients, I'm like, pause. So-and-so's in the house. You're all good. You're all good. I love it. And I think people forget that social media is social. Like, it is about making yourself, you're as big as you make yourself on the internet. If you play small and you show up and you're small, then your social media probably won't blast off. But we also need to remember that it is social and like, build that community. So I'm so glad you paused.
I think community for me too has been one of the probably the biggest supports for me in building this business. And when people ask me, you know, what do you think has been most helpful to you, or as an entrepreneur, what should I do if I'm starting out?
Yeah.
Focusing on your community and relying on your community are like always very close to, if not at the top of my list. I mean, I have some of my closest community, people have been most valuable to me, are technically my competitors.
Yeah. Right?
There are other women who are running law firms who just want to support, right? So we share. How'd you deal with this? How are you pricing this? How are you pricing this? And again, technically competitors, but there's so much space.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yes. And in the legal world, you need to be able to refer people all the time. You can't take on everybody, right? Like,
yep, that's right.
You've got your ideal client. That makes a lot of sense. I work with a lot of lawyers, by the way, in my program. So I'm learning a lot now when it comes to lawyers. Okay. I was about to ask you, actually, like, if someone's about to take the leap, ask someone who took the leap to start her own firm, no matter what it is for them, if they're about to leave corporate America to be a life coach or to start their own cupcake place, like, what would it be? What would that advice be from you?
So I would say start socializing the idea.
That's good.
And some people like hold it very close, right? They're afraid that if they share their idea that someone's going to take it. But as you said, really the main key to success is not giving up. And most people don't want to be entrepreneurs, right? And good for them, because in some ways it's so terrible, right? It's so wonderful.
It's like miserable.
So terrible.
But yeah, if someone offered us, and I was talking to my manager this morning, I said, if we were offered $10 million for this, would you quit right now? We both agreed, absolutely not, because it's a game to us. It's like we want to get to the next level, but I bet you feel that. Like, it's so terrible.
That's a good way to describe it.
You're like, hey, you offered your life like a roller coaster.
Like, you're like, but I'm addicted. Like, I'm totally addicted to getting to that next this and that next this and the next this, right? You become this like growth junkie. Like, I just need a little bit more. I'm just going to get a little bit more. Yeah.
Anyone listening to the podcast later, like, they can't see the smiles on our faces. Like, we look like crackheads. My gosh.
So your question though was about, what I would tell them. Yeah. Socialize the idea. So this was really helpful for me. I went out to the people who would be my clients, right? Not that they would directly be a client, but they were in our kind of target client world.
Yeah.
And just started sharing with them what I was thinking. I'm like, this is what I'm thinking. This is how it would work. And what All Places ended up being is not the same as what it started as.
Yeah.
Right. Because I had some ideas about how it would work and got feedback that wouldn't work for them.
Mm.
And why?
And
those conversations are hard too. And you have to have them with people who are going to be honest with you, which is not everyone. But so valuable, because this is your early client, you know, that's how somebody in CPG would describe it, right?
Yeah.
This is your early client research. Okay. What do you want? I'm creating this for you. Is this even what you want? No.
I love that. And I think through that process, it sounds a lot like what I'm talking about when I'm telling people who are new to building their business. I'm like, go out and like give a miniature version of your offer or a discounted version of your offer to get reviews, testimonials, feedback before you build out a whole program. Mm-hmm. And
such a good
what
idea.
You need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what you need to figure out during that time is what's your differentiating factors. So like there's a million different service providers. There's a million different coaches who do what I do, blah, blah, blah. But like what makes you different?
Okay, real quick, I need to tell you about WISP, an online healthcare service that is for the girls, gays, theys, and me. In fact, for 3 years, they have been a part of my daily regimen. I know many of you listening long to create beautiful women-loving women relationships. And that, my dears, begins with excellent kitty care. Like, no offense, I don't know about you, but I personally don't want to be at a kitty cat cafe, if you know what I mean, that doesn't provide the freshest dessert for me to lick. So do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and keep your kitty cat cafe fresh. With WISP, everything from the consult to receiving meds is done from the comfort of your phone, and the company is proud of being inclusive, cost-effective, and accessible for everyone. WISP believes that you know your body better than anyone else, which means no more urgent care visits for issues such as UTIs, yeast infections, or STI treatment. You can save so much time not going to in-person appointments or waiting in line at pharmacies. The free shipping will save you so much time. Or same-day pharmacy pickup can have you feeling better faster. Before WISP, I was prone to getting BV, but my kitty pH balance stays perfect. Chef's kiss now that I am on a consistent probiotic regimen. Ladies, this is so important. Personally, I subscribe monthly to WISP Probiotics, Sexy Time Lube, and OMG Cream. It's like female Viagra. I also get D-mannose and boric acid vaginal suppositories as needed, so I'm prepared if something starts to fill off down there. Also, if you're about to meet a new partner from my lesbian dating platform, you definitely want to be tested before sleeping with someone new. You can order discreet online testing from your bed before you jump into bed. Go to the link in the show notes to learn more, or go to hellowisp.com and use my code Sophia for 15% off. That's code Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, for 15% off all your kitty needs. You're welcome. Okay, back to the show.
What makes your process different? Were you able to figure out how you'd set yourself apart in your industry when you were in that phase of socializing, or did it take actually working with clients before you started figuring that out?
Oh, it's such an interesting question, and such a critical one for when you're starting a business.
Yeah.
So I knew it definitely kind of, you know, through these conversations evolved. I knew that I wanted to work with women. And I knew that I specifically wanted to work with women around money, right? Because I'd seen this data, like these terrible. So before I was a lawyer, I thought I was going to be an economist. So I love numbers.
Oh, God.
And
my worst nightmare.
Okay. So you see these numbers, or like the stats around how much money is being invested in women-owned businesses, how much money is being managed by women. It's like nothing. It is so small and so painful. And so I knew, I was like, I mean, I knew I was a great lawyer. And so I wanted to start using those skills for something that felt meaningful to me. So I knew that part of it, but I didn't know how that would translate into a law firm that felt different, right? Was it, if it looked just like everybody else, how would people know that, were we really doing anything different,
yeah,
or were we just serving this one community? And it was, you know, just a series of conversations with people. So a great friend of mine runs this incredible branding agency. Her name's Linda Honan, the branding agency called The Outset. And she was one of the people I had a very early conversation with. And she started, we formally engaged them, and she had a vision for this business that was very uncomfortable for me in some ways, because for me, I thought people wouldn't take us seriously if we didn't look like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I was really worried about that. I mean, we also have this funny name, right? We're not like Johnson and Gimlet, you know?
I love LLP. The name.
Thank you.
Say it again for everybody.
It's all places. It actually comes from a quote from Justice Ginsburg, which is, women belong in all places where decisions are being made.
Oh, beautiful. I have goosebumps.
I know. Just... I still get goosebumps every time I say it. Like, you can't see them on the live, but no, they're. they're there. So we just decided, like, we're just going to be different. We want you to come to us and feel not that we are just for women, but that we are building women matter to us.
Yeah.
We want you here. Like, we want you, and we want to create a different experience for you. We want working with law firm to feel it can be beautiful. It can feel like a partnership. It can feel like we're really invested. So if you go to our website, it does not look like a law firm, typical law firm. It's beautiful. It's feminine. And that's, so that was part of it. So I think, you know, what we, where we are now is, you know, we're a mission-driven law firm. Mm. That is a differentiator for us. And we want our clients to feel in partnership with us, feel like they're part of our community, and feel like working with your lawyer is a joyful, beautiful experience.
Wow. That is so different than what's out there, Jessie, and what's going to make you incredibly successful.
Thank you.
Yes. And like, I can feel your passion when you talk about it. And everyone who's building a business right now, or even like, let's break it down to what I'm doing, like dating profiles. How do you want someone to feel when they land on your website? Like the way you just knew how you want someone to feel in their nervous system, and how you want them to feel when they land on your social media profiles. How, what's the vibe? Like vibe check of the room. You get literally like 2 seconds to give someone the vibe on your website, on your social platform, and tell them what's in it for them. And now
I'm
in the dating world, it's like, okay, you got the same attention span. Sadly, like, I love TikTok, but it's ruined our attention spans. Mm. Like, we're a swiping world really quickly now. And so my dating platform, I pride myself on the fact that we don't swipe. It is about intentional communication, community, and then meeting people through there and sharing your real preferences as to what you're looking for in a future wife. But you've got a moment. You've got a few seconds, whether you're a business or you're a dating profile, to lock someone in. And I think like what you just shared, I know there will be women listening to this, whether we listen to it now or 6 months from now, going, oh my God, I want to work with Jessie because I want to feel that when I work with my lawyer. And I don't feel that when I work with my lawyer now. And that's,
yeah, it's, you know, it's so, so interesting, and definitely not in my conscious mind when I was creating this business, but it makes so much sense, right? It's like, what is that feeling that hits you when you land on right any company's website or social page or whatever it is? Like, what is it? How do you feel, like, in your body when you, like, does it feel like it's for you?
Yeah.
Does it feel comfortable? Yeah. And
love
it wasn't consciously there, but oh, it's so interesting. I'm going to be thinking about that more.
Yeah. And like, just for anyone listening, whether it's a landing page or copy under a post or a social media profile, immediately tell people what they're looking for. Like, if you're looking for this, we are this, rather than leading with we are this and we want to help you. It's make it immediately about them, because everyone wants to know within a couple seconds what's in it for me, even if they're the best person in the world. So if we can make it, hey, this is what's in it for you, before you even get to why you're gonna love us, that's what it's gonna sell.
Tell me more. Or say that again. Tell me more about that, because I'm already thinking, I'm like, what should we do on our website?
Yeah.
How do we need to?
Yeah. I didn't even look at like your landing page yet, because I went to your social media, but like on landing pages copy, instead of just being like, we're this as the headline, when someone's landing on a page over and over, and that's your main page, it's super important that it's like, you're this, like calling them out to self-identify. I like to say people know they're sick, but they don't know they have the flu. They know they have the symptoms, but they don't know it's the flu. And so if we can call out symptoms and get someone to self-identify, they're going to be selling themselves to you, saying, I need you. I have the cough. I have this. I have that. And then they're like, I need the doctor for this problem. But if they can self-identify, rather than you being like, hi, I'm a doctor, I can help you, right? Do you see the psychology there? The psychology?
Yes.
And you can do this on your dating profiles. Mm. You can do this on your social media profiles. So if you're looking for this, you're in the right place. And that you're in the right place,
You don't have to say it just like that, but that's where you wrap your arms around someone with your words and be like, this is the community for you. So
makes so much sense. Yeah. Yes. I am also really drawn, and I think maybe the next phase of our website, we're going to put together an FAQ page.
Yes.
And maybe this will come into that too. But one thing I always appreciate is when people say who this is not for.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right?
It's like, we're not here for everyone. We are not here for this. We actually just, we have a virtual assistant, and we work with one service to do it. And we just changed to a different service called Squared Away, which specifically is support families, military families. Mm. So stay at home spouses.
I love that.
Yeah. And it was started by a woman.
Love it.
And I just heard great feedback, you know, from other people. Oh, I've had a great experience. The assistants are so great. And I went on their webpage, and at some point on the webpage, they say, we don't work with assholes.
I love it. It's just that awesome.
And there are no asterisks or something like it. Assholes. We don't work with assholes. And it's like, okay. And what that signals to me is I appreciate that value. We don't work with assholes either, right? We don't work with assholes.
And I will never be an asshole to you.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Right? But seeing that, I'm like, oh, that's, and you're just putting it out there. You know,
yeah.
This is not what we're about. We're about people who treat our employees really well. That's who we want to work with. And I was like, oh, I just fell more in love with this company.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And I've built a lot of my, success off of the us versus them mentality in marketing. And honestly, guys, this is something that we've seen very divisive. We won't name names, but political leaders do, right?
Yep.
And they're able to create these cult followings by saying, well, this is them and this is us. And at the end of the day, every single very successful, famous, iconic person or business knows very clearly, even let's go back to Apple. We're not Android users. Ew. Right?
That is,
there's a difference.
So beautifully summed. Apple's branding. So beautifully summed up. We're not Android users, ew. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
So, yeah. Yes. So for me, when it comes to my business side where I teach people, I'm not working with lazy people. Mm-hmm. I'm working with go-getter queers. If you're lazy, don't even talk to me. You're going to hate me. And then if it comes to the dating, it's, I don't work with anyone who's polyamorous. Mm-hmm. I'm helping women seeking monogamy. Mm-hmm. I love my polyamorous friends. I have plenty of them in real life, but that's not my business. So if you're polyamorous, the same for you. If you're like still talking to your ex, the same for you. This is a safe place for women looking for their wives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it for you? When you think about your business, what is it? And people listening, I want you to do this exercise. Let's go. What is it for you?
Yeah. So we work with people who are committed to the mission of gender equity in capital markets.
Love it.
That, and by capital markets, I mean, you know, venture capital, private equity, right? Any of these areas that are about managing capital, money. And that's it.
Could
that's
you
it.
Start
you have to be committed
in your
to the cause?
What would be your "we don't work with asshole" statement that you could start maybe playing with in your social media without it being that exactly? Just something for you and your team to think on, you know?
Yeah, I will. I mean, we definitely don't work with assholes. We don't work with people who don't pay us.
I love it.
That's a deal breaker for us. Has not always been a deal breaker. Has not always been a, I mean, I'm being honest here, right? Has not always been a deal breaker. We work with people who value what we do. So if you don't value what we do, if you're going to like get a bill from us, and you know, we are really transparent about fees too. You never get a surprise bill from us. It's all very upfront. So if you don't value what we do, that's cool. You're not the client for us. Let me share this other one.
Sure.
Because this came out of actually our strategic planning session. I don't know why I didn't say this first. We work with clients who can easily pay us.
Love it. Love it. That is what it's about. Like, I always tell people in coaching or whatever your service is, they're at their breaking point where they realize if they don't, they're going to miss out on a lot of money. Like, it's a no-brainer to work with you, because otherwise they would get like in the booty with no lube later. Mm. It would be a bad time. It'd be
Got
a bad
it.
Time.
That is yeah. not a, that's not a turn of phrase that comes up a lot for me on podcast.
I wouldn't think so. Everyone loves me. They're like, you just said fuck and Jesus and lesbian in the same sentence. And I'm like, huh? I guess, you know.
You're like, just all part of me. So
multifaceted. Yeah. Okay, love it, love it, love it. We got a question for at the beginning. I just want to go through the comments real quick. Okay. Someone said, what if I run a company but have an idea for something that has nothing to do with my original job? Like right now I need an app developed. My advisor would be like, well, keep running the company that's making you revenue and then start doing what you said, that advice of like socializing the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. I like that too. The other thing that in my lawyer brain pops up is if you're running one company and you have investors in that company, then that it gets a little stickier for you to start another company, right? So if that's the case, you need to be thoughtful about that part. If that's not the case, you're like, I bootstrapped this one, and then I also want to do this one. Great. You can set it up as a standalone company if you want, if you're going to bring investors into it. But if you own all this and you're going to own all of this, just do it under the same, come like, in terms of corporate structure, it generally doesn't matter. It's just going to be another product that you own.
Right.
Yeah. And like you said, start socializing it, start thinking about what's unique about it, and put together, it's so dull. Put together a basic business plan.
Yeah.
How much, like to get to a, you know, a beta product, an early product, what are you going to need? How much money are you going to need? Who are you going to need to hire? Because these things, sometimes it can be pretty quick, but sometimes it's really expensive. And also maybe look at your finance. This is what I tell everyone too, before they start a business or a fund, look at your own finances. How much money are you willing to spend, or how long can you go without a salary before you start committing to one of these things? Because, you know, personal finances are critical.
Critical.
You got,
but I think people
eat.
Are afraid
you
to
eat.
Look
you need a place to live. You need to, right? You need to, for a lot of it, you need to support your family. You need to support your aging parents. You need to, right? We all have different personal responsibilities when it comes to money.
Yeah. And it doesn't. You can decide to do a season of sacrifice for your business. Like
what a nice phrase. Did you come up with that?
I may have heard a mentor say it before, but I don't know if she came up with it or if another mentor before her
came up with it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start using that.
Yeah, it's
season of
really good, but
sacrifice.
Like I literally still live in the same one bedroom space that I like rented whenever I left the man, but then when I realized I was gay, the man that I had lived with and worked for. And my friends, every time they come over, say, oh my God, the bat cave. Like, because it's like so small. They're like, the energy in here is like millions of dollars. And I'm like, yeah. So it's just so funny. Or like people will say, the other day I posted a picture with one of my friends and we were in her car and her car wasn't fancy. And they went off on me like, how can you say you're so successful but not have a fancy car? And I was like, first of all, this is my friend's car. Don't be hating on my friend's car. Like, that is not cool. And that friend lives in a multi-million dollar house and doesn't give a shit about her car. People have different priorities.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
So let's not go there. But people decide where to put their money. I like to put it back into my business and into my closet and travel. And you will decide during your season of sacrifice, like, okay, maybe you do still have a nice space, but you don't have like a fancy car. Like everyone has their things that they're going to have to, like, is your business important to you?
I completely, yeah, completely, completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm 47 and I can look around at other women my age and they own homes and they write all of these different things. And I still have like a little insecurity about those conversations. Like, oh, I should own a house by now and I should blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my husband and I, we rent a house, a two bedroom house, a little house. And I love it. I'm obsessed.
You have no responsibility, right?
We have one car. It's a Honda. I love it. I love that car, right? I love that car. And do I think, I do think, you know, ooh, down the road, what would be my dream car? Which, by the way, is like a 1990s Porsche.
Ooh, I like it. What color?
I mean, blue comes to mind, but I'd have to, but I think about stuff like that. Ooh, that'll be fun when that happens. But is that going to happen now? No, because I'm building this business. I have the team, right?
Me too.
I want to pay my team well.
Me too.
Right? There are benefits. There are taxes. There are, you know, I'm going to do that and invest. I wouldn't describe it necessarily as a season of sacrifice because I'm still living very comfortably. I'm very lucky. But yeah, you have to, you know, you put the money in. Sure, there are lots of other things I could do with that money.
Yeah. Lots of priorities. Everyone's got different ones. I love it. Someone says, you're looking fabulous for 47, Jessie.
Thank you.
I love it. And then someone else said, me cruising around in my 2003 Toyota Camry. I mean, truly, it does not matter. For me this year, like investing in all kinds of new like tech for my company was so priority. And like, I was taught this actually by someone that I dated before who is really successful. And they would say, why buy the shoes? You can't buy the shoes, but like, can you put that money back into your business and make like whatever you buy for yourself, can you match that and put that back into your business? Like that needs to be the first thing. And then like, think, and it really makes sense. And this might sound terrible, but I really don't budget. I'm at a place of abundance where I don't budget, but I buy what I need and everything else just goes back. It just goes back.
Yep. Yep. I mean, again, numbers person, so we definitely have a budget for the business, but I'm actually not super strict about it.
Okay.
Because I also think we're going to grow. We're going to grow. And I obviously had, you know, scary, fearful moments, a lot of them. I'm like, oh, what if we don't grow? What if we fail?
You won't.
But mostly I'm thinking we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep growing. Is this money well spent right now? I think it is. And sometimes too, I've had a hard time accepting this, but there are some ways that I spend money on this business that I derive a lot of pleasure from.
Yeah.
Like there are conferences I really want to go to, and I know I'm going to have an amazing time, and it's not cheap. And part of me has felt bad about that. Like somehow business expenses should be painful. I don't know.
No.
My own issues. But there are things that we spend money on for the business where I'm like, I love this. Like I would probably buy this for my, like if this were just my personal money, which it kind of is because I'm the only one who owns the business, I would still spend this money. And how great.
Yeah.
How great that you have a business doing something that you love so much that you can spend money and go do something valuable to the business that also is like soul nourishing for you.
Absolutely. I feel that way. I have conferences or online conferences or different coaching containers I'm in, which by the way, PPB is a tax write-off, my profitable personal brand coaching program. And if anyone's listening to this and they're like, oh my God.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening to this and they're like, I want to learn more about that, please just DM me on Instagram and tell me where you're struggling in your business or like where you're struggling getting your idea off the ground with social media. And I'll help you. If you don't have social media, you can email me support at Sophia Spolino. But Instagram's the easiest place to do that. And then what about you, Jessie? If someone's like, oh my God, I want to work with her, how do they get in contact?
So you can actually just go right to our website and we have like pretty rad SEO. So if you just Google all places, we will be the top search result.
Wow.
I know, right? And you go to the website, and if you scroll down to the bottom, we'll see, we try to make it really easy. We try to be very accessible. So if you scroll down to the bottom, there's actually a link to our calendar.
Oh,
and
wow.
You can book a 15-minute session with us. It's free. You just book it right there, Calendly.
Yeah.
Big spot.
Okay. I love it. And go ahead and follow you on Instagram. What Instagram do you want them to follow, Jessie?
So our Instagram is at This Is All Places. And then we're also really active on LinkedIn. So me directly or our company.
Amazing. Thank you for being on the show today and breaking down all of these, I don't know, scary words for the creative girlies like me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative girly.
Completely. My pleasure. Makes me feel valuable that I can provide that.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you so much for welcoming me into your community.
You're welcome. And I truly thought you were a lawyer and a venture capitalist.
I mean, I was like, I can't say the thought has not occurred to me. Like, oh, maybe someday I should start my own fund. Like, I know how to do it now. So how hard would it be? But starting a fund's really hard. It's really hard.
Take this with a grain of salt, not professional advice, but I like feel compelled spiritually to tell you maybe this was like a intuitive hit to do that. Like I saw that. I don't know. Like it was, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll absorb that. See what happens.
Yeah. About 2 years ago, one of my now clients messaged me and I thought it was a really weird, creepy, cold DM, which feels so icky. And she said, you're going to teach women the keys to wealth. And at that point, I was only like modeling and making less than $2,000-$3,000. And I just told her, I was like, thanks. Like, that's like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. I was like, this is so like shady. Does she even know me? Her name's Lauren Courtney. And a few months go by, that doesn't come over my brain anymore. And she actually like messages me about childhood trauma and is like, hey, this is affecting your body right now. And like named the person in my family that had hurt me. Yeah, that I've never told anyone about.
That is freaky.
But crazy. She's legit. So yeah. And then about a year later, I ended up like just getting these ideas. And I was like, oh, I should be coaching in this. Like, this is what I do. But like, I should be doing it myself. Mm. And then boom, it happened. And I have a feeling that you'll be telling me that. Like, give it 2 years. 2 years, Jesse.
You're like, I'll be sending you a creepy DM.
Well, no, this is Sophia. My creepy DM to you. Sophia, like, I see
you
it.
Remember me? I'm a venture capitalist now. Thank you.
I will never forget you, ever. This was an amazing conversation.
Thank you, Jesse.
Have an amazing day. And anyone listening, if you want to work with Jesse, please reach out to her. This is all places
right.
on Instagram.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks so much, Sophia. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
As queer women, that's women with an X, because of course we are inclusive here. As I was saying, as queer women, we haven't always been lifted up or celebrated. We have often felt left out and put down in places that historically haven't welcomed us. In fact, we have been conditioned by society to be grateful for mere tolerance. My resilient LGBTQ+IA community, I am talking to you. I'll bet you've recognized the spark that God put in your heart, your unique calling to impact the world in only a way that you can. A business idea, a brand to build, a coaching program to start, the art to create, the song to sing, the book to write, that relationship you long to build. But that little light inside your soul has often been blown out by the people around you, leaving you conditioned to play small and not step into your full potential. You are not alone. And it's never too late to truly live your most authentic dream life. I would know. I came out late in life, nearly 30, a couple years ago, after being bullied for months inside a country club. Right outside of my weights class, I was assaulted by a bigoted woman who couldn't stand my queerness. She physically pushed me, so I had a meeting with management. I told them I didn't feel safe. I brought forth evidence, and guess what? They did nothing. Sadly, this is normal. But in order to create change, we have to be brave enough to be the change ourselves. So I did a thing. I started my own virtual country club for queer women, a safe place for us to create meaningful connections and grow. So if you're looking for a love connection, networking opportunities, or coaching to live your best freedom life, you want to apply to be a part of our incredible community of purpose-driven, passionate queer women. Join Queer Women Rising, the online queer country club for growth-minded women ready to level up in life and love. To apply, DM me the word rising on Instagram at Sophia Spellino or chat me the word rising on sophiaspellino.com. Now, beyond hosting Queer Women Rising, I am a personal brand coach and social media strategist. If you give me a moment to tell you about what I do, I can share how I can help you, just like I've helped many clients before get famous online and make more money. If you're an exhausted coach or service provider ready to scale your business for real, or you're just getting started building your dream brand from scratch, and if you're ready to build your own profitable personal brand, I can show you how in 6 months or less. But why should you take my word for it? Well, I've spent over 10 years in the social media marketing industry, amassing over 400,000 followers across platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as hosting a top charting podcast, building a successful service provider business, and coaching powerful women to build purpose-driven, profitable personal brands. Yeah, I have the social media and sales process strategies that can help you finally make the money you deserve. Because I want to help you build your dream business that gives you time, freedom, and makes real money. So for a limited time, I'm giving away your first steps to go from less than 5K months and advance to 10 to 20K months. Grab my newly revamped Profitable Personal Brand Blueprint, my proven framework to build yourself a personal brand that motivates, inspires, and sells so that your business can thrive the way it should. Just go to the link in the show notes. Whether you're a novice at creating or you're feeling stuck, hitting a plateau in your business that once had consistent revenue, and need guidance, support, and coaching to get to your next level, I invite you to book a strategy call to speak with either me or my team to see if we'd be the right fit to work with each other inside of the Profitable Personal Brand 6-month coaching program. Mind you, I am extremely selective and this coaching program is not for everyone, and I'm not afraid to say it. I am only taking on serious, purpose-driven, and committed queer women and allies inside of my community. If that's you, book your free strategy call. The link is in the show notes. And if you feel yourself come alive and love listening to Queer Women Rising, please leave me a 5-star rating with a kind review wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to share the show with a powerful woman you know. And remember, when you're called to do something greater in life, love, or business, you will be uncomfortable until you move. So get up and go get what you want. Let's rise. Let's rise.